Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
We're starting a brand new series. The title of it is Planted, but as we talk about the benefits, the blessings of being planted with God and by God, I should say, I want us to begin with a foundation that is a revelation of what Christ's resurrection brought to us as believers in God. What Jesus brought to us at Calvary was the beginning of a brand new relationship with God that's based not on his old covenant that he had with the Jewish people, but a brand new covenant that's founded in Christ's sacrifice as atonement for our sins. All right? It is this new covenant that we have, that the understanding of it is the foundation for our relationship with God. It's how, if we don't get this covenant, we will never see God the way he wants us to see him. We will never relate to God the way he wants us to relate to him. We won't see ourselves the way that God wants us to see us. I mean, okay, how many of you are parents? You know, have you ever had your kids complain to you about how they look or how they act or, you know, some, you know, how they do in school? Do your children see themselves the way you see them? No. They often don't love themselves the way that we love them. We think they're amazing. We think they're unique. We think they're special. And I know we all sort of struggle on that. And God wants you to see you differently. But you're never going to do that if you don't have a revelation of this new covenant we have in Christ. And the whole idea of covenant is lost on this generation. We have a culture that doesn't understand commitment, let alone covenant. Now, I mean, am I wrong on that? You know, you asked him, you know, have you ever tried to get something fixed under warranty and you're told, I'm sorry, that's not included? It's just you sit there and go, well, then what good is the warranty? I thought you told me stuff was going to get fixed, and it's like, no, it doesn't get fixed, you know, because they're not really committed, let alone in covenant. Covenant is an unbreakable agreement. Now, it's unbreakable from God's side. People can break covenants all the time, but God never breaks a covenant. He swore on himself because there was no higher power. We don't understand this whole concept of authority that is all powerful. The kings of our generation are all figureheads. They get their picture on their money, but that's pretty much it. They get some nice parades once in a while, but the idea that there is an entity, a being, a God who literally says, let it be, and it becomes, who can't be overruled, who can't be, you know, voted out, who can't be, you know, sort of superseded, that is lost on the culture that we are immersed with. I was working out at the gym just a few weeks ago, and I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, a good man, not a Christian, and he was just going off on how I've chosen to live my life. He said, that's such a stupid way to live. Why do you do that? And I'm looking at him going, because it's better for me. But he doesn't get it because he can't see it because he doesn't understand the covenant that I have. So whatever it is God asks of me in the way of obedience is not a sacrifice. It's not, oh, I don't want good things for you, Reese, so go live this way. It's God saying, I have seen ahead and I know a better path. I know a less rocky path. I know a wiser path. I know a more prosperous path. So let me be your Lord. And let me help you live in this covenant. So it's a great concept. So we got to get this right. Now, even the old covenant that the Jews had, what an incredible blessing was offered to them. Have you read the Old Testament where it talks about, hey, if you follow my ways, this is what I'll do for you? You know, God says A, B, and C. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? The creator of the universe is willing to do all of those things for me. And yet the children of Israel didn't necessarily always follow. But that covenant was so powerful that David in Psalms 1 says this. Oh, the joys, not the burdens, not the hardships, not the pain. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Boy, are we immersed in a generation of mockers? Go on social media. What is it? It's mocking. It's mocking. It's mocking. And it's easy to do the same thing, isn't it, right? We all catch ourselves. But those who don't follow the wicked, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. This is the part, verse 3. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. You ever seen a tree bear fruit in every season? No, that's a supernatural tree. You know, apples come in the fall, right? That's when you harvest apples. Not when you're planted by God. Not when you're in covenant with God. Every season is a harvest season. And their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. When the children of Israel lived within the covenant, they never lost a battle. Didn't matter how they were outnumbered, didn't matter how many chariots were on the other side, they didn't lose battles. In fact, people fled from them because they knew, hey, man, there's something up about them Jews. They'll mess you up. They will mess you up because they just got it going on. They never experienced famine when they were in obedience to the covenant. There might have been a famine someplace else, but the Jews, when they were living in obedience, did not experience famine. They lacked for nothing when they remembered their covenant and put their faith in God. And so that's the old covenant. But what God wants believers, Gentiles, Jews, everybody everywhere who has made a choice to become a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, he begins to say, I want to plant you in this new covenant. I want you to realize that the moment that Jesus left that tomb, our relationship changed. Okay? In fact, the kingdom of God became a reality. And when Jesus was teaching about the kingdom, I mean, that study alone, we'll probably do later this year, but in Matthew 6, 31 to 33, if you're out of a charismatic background, you're familiar with this verse, he said, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? You know, what will we wear? Sounds like church on Sunday morning. You know, what are you going to get dressed? Where are you going to go afterwards? He said, these things dominate the thoughts of Christians on a Sunday morning. No, he said, these things dominate. I'm sorry, it's a joke. They dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Okay? But should they dominate the thoughts of believers?
No.
But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Jehovah Jireh. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Understanding the covenant is a key to you walking into the God-given desires the Lord births in us. God wants to give you dreams and visions and ambitions and put things on your heart that are valuable and worthwhile goals. And he wants you to experience those things, but the foundation for realizing those dreams is walking in a revelation of what this covenant in Christ means. It's powerful. It's we're planted into the covenant. It wasn't, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. Okay. I could talk forever on this because it's part of it. It is what connects us to our purpose and our destiny. And it's the byproduct of a seed or seeds that are allowed to mature and produce a harvest. Again, Christ talking in Matthew 13, he says this, here's another illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds. Have y'all ever seen mustard seeds? Yes. I have some at home that, you know, we use for cooking. They're just tiny little pebbles. They look like the head of a pin. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. which means it will support life. God wants to grow the kingdom in your heart. He wants to grow it in your soul. He wants to grow it in your thoughts. He wants you to think about yourself from a kingdom covenant standpoint. He wants to think about your future from a kingdom covenant standpoint. He wants to think about your potential from a kingdom covenant standpoint. He wants you to think about your personal finances from a kingdom covenant standpoint, your morality, your ethics, your you know, just whatever. He wants you to completely refocus from you to him. All right? You guys getting this? All right. So that's what it says. And this covenant, as good as the Abrahamic covenant was, and it was good. I mean, it's an amazing the covenant that Christ brings is better. The author of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 8:6. But now Jesus, our high priest, has given us a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. So what does this covenant promise? Well, lots of things, but I want to look at four this morning. Just four promises that come with the resurrection of Christ that are available to anyone who will put faith in Jesus. The first is righteousness. And in Romans, it talks about that there is now a righteousness that is not based on conformity to any set of rules. It's a righteousness that's based on the sacrifice of Christ being sufficient to pay for my sins. I've done a bunch of dumb things in my life, okay? I know that's hard for you to believe, okay? I have failed. I have said things. I've lied. I've done stuff. Should never have done it. But I did. But nothing that I have done or ever will do can take God's righteousness from me. All right? And because I am righteous in the eyes of God, I am not cut off from his grace or his provision or his promises. The children of Israel were that covenant was extremely behavior dependent. If you did this, I will do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to mess you up. Or I'm going to allow you to get messed up, depending on your theology and how you want to look at it. The point about this covenant is I am righteous by faith alone. Now that does that give me carte blanche to go live any way I want to? Of course not. That's stupid. But it does tell me that no matter what happens, I can always go to God and find his grace. I love what it says in Hebrews. It says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I mean, seriously, God's on my side because I'm righteous. You want to fight with me? Fight with him. Seriously, God is with you in every fight, every struggle, every difficulty. This is a bad example, but y'all know I grew up in Southern Missouri, right? And in a small town in Southern Missouri on a Friday night, what do? You go to Main Street and hang out. You park your car in the parking lot of the grocery store and sit in the hood and wave at people as they go by. So I was down there one Friday night with a couple of buddies of mine, and we pull into the Taco Bell because it was what was open late at night. And then I see my brother and a group of his guys. My brother's a year younger, but my brother is 6'4", about 250 at this time. I see them pull in, and another guy pulls up right beside my brother. And words are being exchanged between my brother's car and this car. Okay, now my brother's in the back seat of this car. So these guys hop out of the one, and they're rednecks from Missouri. They're talking trash. Oh, kick your butt. Go, come on out here. No idea what went on. So me and my friends are laying back to see what's going to go down just in case we need to intervene because these morons didn't know they were severely outnumbered, all right? But they hopped out. They're talking trash, and my brother's two friends get out of the front seat, and they're, yeah, we'll take you on. And the words are, guys are kind of doing their posturing. And then the back door of the four-door opens, And my brother peels himself out of the back seat, all 6'4", 250 pounds. He comes out of the car, walks up and goes, "What's going on?" And a whole different attitude came upon the group. Now, I didn't have to intervene. My buddies didn't have to intervene. We just sat back and kind of watched. "Well, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. Let's just let it slide this time, okay?" And they got in their car and drove off the parking lot of the Taco Bell. And my brother's best friend looks at me and grins and goes, "That's the John effect." Because these guys were 5'8" and about 120 pounds, and they weren't going to fight my brother. I mean, that would have been stupid. But that's the point. You got a brother in the back seat with you. And when he shows up, everything changes. Because you are in a place of right standing with God. What else does this covenant do for us? Well, it guarantees us, and I use those words intentionally, it guarantees us the supernatural presence of God. It does. Jesus is talking to his disciples, you know, on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane in John 5:16, and he says, "I'm going away, but that's good for you," which seems crazy because you're with God, and it's like, you know, what do you mean it's good for me that you go away? It's better for me, for you, that I go away, because then I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send the Holy Spirit, and the literal supernatural God, the Spirit presence will be yours. Now, we're in between the season of resurrection and Pentecost. I mean, yep. Along the calendar. But I'm telling you, we celebrate Pentecost because an earthquake moment, everybody in New York, you know, freaked out over a 4-point whatever earthquake. My cousins from California are chuckling. "That ain't an earthquake. Y'all need a real earthquake. That ain't nothing, man." I mean, they were just all laughing about it. But the point of it is that's the kind of experience. And Paul, writing to the Galatians, said this: "I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message. You have faith in the message of the kingdom covenant. You heard about Christ." Have you ever been in an impossible situation? Impossible in your own strength. That doesn't mean it's impossible, because you don't know what God can do. But he can do more than you. What we have, this promise that if we're in a difficult place where we see no good options, you know what I'm saying? Wally used to call it, "I've got to make a choice amongst the best of four bad options." And we've all been there. You have what appear to be no good pathways ahead, and yet God says there is a good pathway. It's the one I'm going to show you, because it's a supernatural pathways. And what men intended for evil, I will turn around and use for good. What the devil intended for evil, I will turn around and use for good. You know, your bank account may be empty, but it doesn't have to stay empty. Because God said, "I can send what you don't have from sources that you don't even know about." You have a bad diagnosis from a doctor, it doesn't have to be permanent. I know I was fighting a cold all week, but I got some good news. I went to see my annual physical with my cardiologist, for those of you who don't know. About 7-8 years ago, I had a stroke, and then I was diagnosed with AFib. And I've been on metoprolol. How do I say that correctly? Metoprolol? Close enough. They took me off that this week. Yeah, praise God. I was like, and I looked at my doctor and I go, "Well, why?" He goes, "When was the last time you had an AFib incident?" I said, "Well, I got this watch that monitors it. It said May of 2022. He said, "Take it off. There's no point in medicating you for something you don't have." And I'm like, "Okay, I like that. I like that." Because I thought I'd be on that junk forever. But you know, God had a different plan. Have some faith. It shows you where I'm at. Get a better pastor, people. God, where's your belief? But we're promised that supernatural presence of God. And we're promised that because we are in covenant with God, our prayers become powerful. You know, James, it talks about if you're sick, come pray. If you're happy, you know, sing praises. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why we're going to be praying for the sick at the end of the service. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. I love in James where it says, the fervent, effective prayers of righteous men avails much. And then we have this verse in Mark's gospel, 11:22-24. And Jesus is in Jerusalem, you know, waiting to go in. And he just says this to his disciples. Look, have faith in God. Have faith in the covenant. Have faith in what I'm about to do for you. I tell you the truth that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? As God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? I mean, it's again, consider the culture of the times. They had whole temples dedicated to some pantheon of Greece or pantheon of Rome or a pantheon of Egypt or, you know, Mesopotamia, pick it. You know, they had gods for every reason, and they're sacrificing this and sacrificing that, and they're begging and they're flailing around and they're going, God, God, don't you hear us? And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and the apostles are talking to the early Christians, and they're saying, you have a covenant with God that means you don't have to beg and flail around and do weird stuff to get God to move. Your prayers are powerful by faith. By faith. Do you remember the Old Testament story? Some of you might, where you have the priests of Baal and you have the prophet of God and they're up on Mount Carmel. I'm looking at, you know, Mike and Lisa, we were there in Israel, love that place. And the priests of Baal are like, oh yeah, you know, cutting themselves. That's the modern translation. Oh yeah. But they're going through all these, you know, gyrations, trying to convince Baal to do something for them. And the prophet of God just goes up and says, bam, and it happens. That's what the new covenant in Christ does. It puts you in a place where God listens to you, and you have that in writing, and he won't break it. And if you ask anything according to his will, if you ask anything good, now if you ask God for something bad, he ain't gonna give it to you. He's not. I remember praying with a friend one time. They were, oh, God, I want this job. I want this job. I want this job. So we prayed for this job. He didn't get the job. 6 months later, that company went broke. You know, be careful, you know, trust God, because he really is looking out for you. So that's the third point, is that we're righteous. We have the supernatural presence of God, and our prayers become powerful. But we end with this statement. And this is the essence of what this foundation is about, being planted in this new covenant. Is that we have a new life as the sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a new life. Again, John 1:12-13, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, I want to pause there. They tried to kill Jesus for saying that. You claim to be the Son of God? You deserve death. How dare you think of yourself that? Oh, you're not the Son of God. Oh my gosh, that puts you on an equal footing with God? And yet, John records to all who believed, they are reborn. 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 Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. That's it. We were all prodigals. Romans says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I believe it's John where it says that they were judged not because of what they did, because they refused to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. People ask me, what sends you to hell? Does lying send you to hell? Does fornication send you to hell? Does cheating, blah, blah, blah? The only thing that sends anybody or keeps anybody in that place of estrangement from God is refusing to believe in Jesus and his grace. That's it. That's the only, sin that really keeps you out. It's because you don't want to walk in the new covenant. And as Christians, what keeps us from experience the fullness of God's will for our lives, the fullness of what David talked about, being a tree that's planted by the streams that bears fruit in every season, a tree that is resistant to disease and to high winds. Anybody lose a tree last night? Several of my friends did, but we're talking spiritually a tree that endures hurricanes and earthquakes and all the things that the enemy can throw at us. A tree that knows it's a son or a daughter of God. That's how we walk in new life. We act like being born again is just being, set free from sin. No, man. It's the beginning of a new relationship with God where we see ourselves and we see others and we see the future. And we see everything differently because suddenly we're part of God's family. So I invite you to ask the Lord at this moment to give you, as I'm asking for myself, a fresh revelation of this covenant. God, just pray with me if you would. God, I wrote this message, and I wrote it as I write all my messages with people in mind and you in mind, but also myself in mind. How much more do you have for us, Lord? How many new opportunities and new blessings and new ministries and new lives of impact do you have that just require us to walk in this revelation that we are in the kingdom covenant, that you are the king. You are the king. You're the all-powerful. Your word is law. Your word is law. If you utter it, it can't be changed. If you promise it, it can't be broken. If you give it, the enemy can't steal it. You fight our battles for us. You do stuff for us that is beyond us. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me remember this when I'm facing the impossible, when I'm facing hardships, when I'm in doubt and fear and anxiety. Help me to remember that I am a son of God. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. For those of you watching online or you're here in person, as I make that statement, if you don't know that you are a son or a daughter of God, if you don't know, if you've really surrendered your life to God and to Christ and to the Holy Spirit, if you haven't surrendered your life and said, I want to follow Jesus, then this is the moment when you make that choice. Maybe you've thought about making it a time or two. Maybe you thought about making it last Sunday during the Easter service. But I'm telling you, there's no other decision you will ever make that is more important than this decision right now. I know you want a better marriage. I know you want a better job. I know you want better health. I know you want to be delivered of depression. I know you want to be less fearful, less anxious, less angry. But all of those things are taken care of if you will seek first the kingdom. If you will seek first the kingdom. And if you will say, I surrender. I surrender. Make me your child, God. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and show me a better way. Because I know I've been making bad choices. If you'll do that right now, just say that. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me. That new life can begin in an instant. And if you've walked away from God, I don't care how many times you've walked away from God, it's never too late to come home. Come home. You online, come home. Come home. Come back to Christ. Just say that. I want to come home, God. I want to be your daughter. I want to be your son. Help me. This I pray for you and with you in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.